She's my bride. She is the woman of my dreams. Goodness. Don't you wish you had one of those, fellas? Well, someday, I promise you, you will. Lauren and I are going to share a message with you guys together tonight. I hope you don't mind. There are some things that have really been on our hearts, and as we're processing through Crown with Dignity and Worth and finishing this up, and there are just some things. She doesn't know how to work an iPad cover, by the way. Could you tell?
Sorry.
No, you couldn't tell that. That's okay. We have been together for how long, sweetie?
10 years.
10 years. Okay. Do I call you sweetie all the time or just in front of people?
You do. Yep.
I do? I do, yep. What does that mean?
Yeah, no, you do.
Well, fellas, I'm going to be an example to you on how to treat a woman. I'll tell you that. And same with all of our leaders in here, our guy leaders. And if I see a guy leader that doesn't treat his wife or his girlfriend well, then he's not going to be a guy leader in here anymore, because I want you girls to set your standards high. So this is my beautiful, gorgeous, sweet wife, who is the woman of my dreams. We've been together for 10 years, right?
Yeah.
About 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody not met Lauren yet? Has anybody in here not met Lauren? Yeah, a couple guys in the back. That's my wife, Lauren, and those are a couple guys in the back.
Awesome.
But
no, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be talking to you guys tonight. It was kind of a last minute thing. But we just, we were praying for you guys and praying that you're receptive, you're quiet, you're attentive during this time, because we appreciate it. We're speaking from our hearts and what God, we think that God wants you guys to hear. So don't be a distraction to people around you. Just listen up. And
we think
if you guys can grab a hold of these truths, man, it'll help your relationships. It'll help you navigate life in a great way. So if you can grab a hold of this stuff now at your age, I know some of you may say, well, I'm only in 7th grade or I'm only in 6th grade. I don't even think about relationships. This is not just for a relationship, boy-girl relationship. This can be taken into friendships and everything like that. So.
It's real important.
Yeah.
Why don't we start with the time that we met? Do you remember that? You don't remember that? It's apparently not. I'm going to tell you, this is hilarious stuff.
I do remember.
I was a kicker on the football team at Geneva College, okay? I was there my freshman year. I had hopes and aspirations of going pro. At that time, I could kick a 65-yard field goal, and I kicked a couple of them, not in a game. My longest was like, in the 50s, like 52 or something like that in a game. And so I thought that professional football was all about, the big legs. So that's all I cared about. And as I'm trying to hit these long field goals, I see this beautiful woman standing and going through cheerleading routines. Lauren was a cheerleader, and I was a football player. This is a really, really typical story, right? And I was like, oh, man, I got to meet that girl. I got to meet her. So long story short, I'm not going to tell the story about the time I called her Marsha Brady. I said she looks like Marsha Brady.
Don't ever say that to a girl, okay, because that'll be instant.
Yeah.
He said I look like Marsha Brady.
From the Brady Bunch. Don't worry about it. You guys don't even need to go there, okay?
I'm like, wow, thanks.
Just
okay,
listen, it was the worst thing I've ever said in my life, okay? She looked at me and she said, I'm out. But she didn't know that I thought Marsha Brady was one of the cutest ladies I've ever seen ever. I had a crush when I was a kid on Marsha Brady, so that was a compliment, okay? Yeah, there you go.
Who in the world has a crush on Marsha Brady?
So here's the setting, here's the story, okay? We're playing the number one team in the nation, okay? The very next day, I go up to Lauren's apartment at the time and just go to meet her because one of my best friends said, you've got to meet this girl. And his now wife, his girlfriend now wife, you got me. She said, Lauren, you have to meet this guy. Neither one of us wanted a relationship. I had been in and out of relationships. I'd done relationships wrong all of my life. I've made some major, major stupid mistakes. And I said, I don't want to. And you know what? The couple that said you have to meet each other, they were just mentors in our life. They really helped us out. He was the guy that started taking me to church as soon as I went to college. I went up. We started talking. I said, hey, would you like to go for a walk? At that time, there was no such thing as like Starbucks or anything, like especially in Beaver Falls. I don't know if any of you are from Beaver Falls. There's no Starbucks in Beaver Falls. Okay, so we go for a walk and we start to talk. And listen, fellas, I'm not a talker, okay? I'm a very introverted person. And this girl asked me questions and I'm talking and I started asking her questions. Before we know it, we're talking, okay? Talking for how many hours? It was probably 9 at night. We talked until 5 in the morning. 5 in the morning. And I had a football game. I had to be on the field at 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah, we sat right on the front lawn. We were in the grass. It was wet.
Yeah.
And we just sat on the front lawn of Travis, we know what we're talking about. What was it?
A memorial.
I think it was Memorial. And just sat there.
We just sat there and talked. And I knew in my heart, if I let this girl go, it would have been the biggest mistake in my life that I had ever made. So, number one, I did not want the night to end because I was like, this is an amazing, amazing girl. And you know what? We set a standard for our life. That was actually the longest time that we had spent together, in our dating relationship. We never spent the night together in any way, fashion, or form. We never slept in the same bed. We never slept in the couch together. You know, we set very high standards for our relationship, and we don't regret that one bit. But the next day, okay, number one team in the nation, I was 17 for 17 that year, field goals, okay, 17 for 17. And we play the number one team in the nation, and I missed 3 field goals straight, and we lose by 3 points. That
whoops.
I blamed it on Lauren, but you know what? I don't care. It was like the best. It was the best blunder of my entire life because.
No, but you notice how we start out by saying, you know, we sat and talked, and guys, we really mean that. And I know that. And you know, I don't want every relationship series to start off like, well, Hollywood makes it seem, because you know, there's a lot we can learn from Hollywood, but we didn't. Meet that night, sleep together, and then wake up the next morning, we were together. We waited until we were married. Guys, we were together for 5 years. We're not saying we were perfect or we did everything right, but when you fall, and we had, you know, some messed up relationships in the past, but when you do things God's way, He will bless you. He will take care of you in so many different ways. But, you know, we all have this idea of how TV portrays a relationship, a friendship even, a friendship now, or a dating relationship, and there's always, we got to find this, you know, special someone, and I'm in eighth grade, and I think I found my special someone, you know, and this is the one, and well, guys maybe not say it like that, I don't know, maybe girls say it like that, but we're all on this, you know, is anybody else with me, we're all on this kind of track to find that special someone. So Hollywood gives us this method, okay? And if you're taking notes, these are a few. We're going to have, I don't think we have notes.
We don't have notes. It is Administrative Assistant Gratefulness Day. So we said, Stephanie, you just take.
She had the day off.
Take
so we
it
don't
off.
Have any notes.
Go
but
for
you can
it.
Write it down on your phone or whatever.
Yep.
Okay, so this is Hollywood's method, right? Ready? This is the Hollywood's prescription for how to find someone special.
That special.
Okay?
Someone.
Number one, you find the right person. Okay? You find that. You got to find that right person.
So you're going to be looking. You're going to be looking everywhere.
Who is it?
Is it her?
Is it him? Is it her? Who is it?
Mine.
Okay.
Mine.
Always
mine,
that. Always
mine,
on that. Yeah.
Mine.
Okay. Number two. After I find that right person, I'm gonna fall in love with them. Number three.
After
so,
you fall in love with that person, you've got to find that person. You've got to fall in love with that person. And then number three is you've got to put all your hope, your value, and your dreams and rest them on that person. It is their responsibility.
You put all your value in them. Well, if I'm with this person, then my life will be so much better. Once I'm with this girl, my I'll have it all together. Once I'm with this guy, that's it. I put all my values, all my hopes, all my dreams in this person.
And if that doesn't work,
yep.
Repeat steps 1 through 3. You do it all over again.
Well,
and so what you have.
Got to do it over again.
Go
that
for
one
it.
Didn't work. I put all my dreams and I had my picket.
I got my heart broken.
And
I got my heart broken.
Now we
got
to do it again.
Yeah, that's basically it.
And then look for that right person. Who is it? You're always on this journey, right?
And it's a cycle. And this is what, this is. If you look at any movie that you watch, you guys remember there was a movie that came out. You may not have watched this. Hopefully you didn't watch it, but it's called No Strings Attached. That movie came out a couple years ago. It's pretty old right now, but there's no such thing as No Strings Attached. I hope you guys realize that. There is absolutely no such thing as no strings attached. And so I was caught in this Hollywood model. And some of you might be caught in that Hollywood model right now, where you're looking for the right person. You're looking everywhere. You're looking. Is that them? Maybe it's him. Maybe it's her. Then I'm going to fall in love, and then I'm going to put all my hopes, values, and dreams into that person. I came out of a rough background, and I began to very easily put my hopes, put my values, and put my dreams in my relationships with girls. And that was a cycle that just ended up hurting me over and over, and especially even hurting those girls. Lauren can speak to that even more.
In the Hollywood method, what it does is it kind of tells us to put all of our fulfillment in people, right? All of our fulfillment in our friends. This isn't just relationships. You may be putting all your value, your dreams, and who you are into your friendships right now and feeling valued or worth if you have this amount of friends or if you're in this clique or that clique. And so it just tells us that we'll be happy whenever we feel fulfilled, whenever we have these people in our lives or this person in our lives. But here's the thing. We put our value in people, but people aren't perfect. Zach's not perfect. I can't look to him for my fulfillment in life. I can't look to him to get my value and my worth. But people are imperfect, so we'll constantly be hurt. We'll have this constant cycle of disappointment and frustration because what you're doing is you're putting everything you have into a person. And that's where we kind of go wrong a little bit.
Yeah, and we ultimately feel let down, rejected, or hurt by the Hollywood method. It just happens. And it'll happen over and over and over until you find God's way of doing relationships. And you know what? He has a simple plan, too. Remember, I'm going to read you the first three steps of the Hollywood. It was find the right person, it's fall in love, and it's put your hopes, values, and dreams in that person. If that doesn't work, do it again. Well, instead of finding the right person, God focuses on becoming the right person.
This is what we want you guys to focus on, these next four steps, okay? Because right now, God is preparing you. And whether you think you found that right person or whatever, God wants to prepare you right now. So I want you guys to write down these four steps, okay? Because this is God's best. That he's our love specialist, okay? He knows what we need. He knows you better than anybody else. And he knows what kind of person you need to marry, you need to be with. And each time I think Pastor John always tells this.
Can I speak to that real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I hope you don't mind me interrupting you, sweetie. I apologize. But what did you just say? What did you just say? He knows what you need, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you just said?
Yep.
That sparked something in me. I used to have a list of everything I wanted in a girl. Okay. I really had one. And I realized now that I'm married to this angel how stupid that list was, because God saw things in her that I didn't even know that I needed. Right now, he knew I didn't know that I needed an encourager, that I would get what I call the holy ice cream headache. Every Saturday night, every Sunday, I think about how Thrive went, how 19 North went, and I just beat myself up and say, oh, we could be better. And my wife looks at me and tells me, you did great. Don't worry, it's not about you. It's about the grace of God in you. She's an encourager. I would have never known in a million years, writing my silly list down, that I would have needed that. So God, when she said that God knows what you need, I'm telling you, I'm living proof of that. God knows what you need far more than you think you know what you need. Trust me in that one.
He said before that he never wanted to date a cheerleader.
I said that. That was on my list.
He married a cheerleader because I am his cheerleader.
That's right. She encourages me more than anybody else has ever encouraged me in life.
But God knows what you need. And
Steps.
These are four things. So instead of Hollywood's method, okay, we're going to kind of look at the two in comparison. Find the right person. Okay, what God wants you to do right now, where you at your age, he wants you to become the right person. Okay, so we're always trying to find the right person. God's saying, no, become the right person right now. Become that person that I want you to be.
Listen, when it comes to relationships, two negatives do not equal a positive. Okay, two negatives do not equal a positive. So, fellas, you've got trash in your life. You need to deal with that trash before you're ready for a relationship. And also, you need to respect what your parents have to say about relationships and listen to them. They're the ultimate guide for when you are ready for that. I'm not going to tell you that the Bible talks to you about when is a perfect time to start dating. That's not my job. My job is to tell you that your parents are involved in your life. They care about you. Make sure you just perk up and listen to them. They're awesome people, right?
And if your parents aren't involved in your life or in your relationship status, and I know that everyone desires their parents to be involved in that area of your life. You need it whether you think you need it or not. But even if they're not, there are leaders here in this room that can help you. They can guide you and help you through a relationship process, okay?
The two negatives do not equal positive. Become the right person. Fellas, you have no right taking baggage and trash into a relationship and messing that girl's life up. Girls, you same thing. You can't take baggage and trash into that relationship and mess that fella's life up. This is very, very important. Become the right person.
And the reason why we're speaking on this is because we know what God has for you. We can see what God has for you in the relationship that he has for you. And so we're so passionate about this because we want you guys to grab a hold of this now so you don't have to make dumb choices and have to someday sit across the table from your wife or from your future spouse and have to say, listen, I did this and this and I slept with this person. I messed up this way. Guys, it'll break their hearts. If you do it God's way, you'll save yourself so much pain in the long run.
That's absolutely right.
Number two, so become the right person. Number two, instead of fall in love, you got to learn to walk in love.
Walk in love.
And really, that just means
living selflessly is what it means. Fellas, walking in love, when it talks about guys, it talks about guys giving up their lives for their wives. Unless we learn how to be selfless, fellas, you can open a door up for a girl, right? You can do that, and you can serve her without any expectation of any good in return. Here's what Christ did for us. He came to us. He served us. He laid his life down for us. And the Bible talks about men in a marriage relationship laying their life down for their wives. So girls, do not settle for a guy that does not serve. If you don't see a guy serving someday, listen, if you don't see him serving someday, do not settle. Do not settle, because he won't serve you. And that is what God made men bigger, faster, and stronger so we can serve our wives better. So when it comes to a relationship, if he's about himself, he's not walking in love. And fellas, if she's about herself, she's not walking in love. Love is always thinking about other people first. It's always about that. And when a relationship, we know this because we're in it, when a relationship says, I'm going to put your preferences and your wants and your desires and your needs above mine, and she does the same thing, those are the times when marriage is just awesome. Isn't it right?
Oh, yeah. It's not easy all the time, definitely. Yeah.
And it starts right now as teenagers. That may seem so far away, but learn to walk in love now.
And that's in your friendships too, guys. That means you become the right person now. You walk in love now towards your friends.
Oh, Lord. You girls and all this drama, I can't take it. Can we just be honest? Oh, help me, Jesus, please. I'm praying and being for real.
I think in a youth group in whole, we can all learn to... we can all, and I've seen a lot of you, honestly, you guys are some of the selfless people that I know. I mean, really, you're an amazing group, but I have seen some times where we can just be all about ourselves, and that stinks in life. That's going to bring no fulfillment to you whatsoever when you are all about yourself, all about your needs, your wants, what's best for you, not anybody else.
What if Jesus looked at us and said, I'm going to provide for him, but I'm going to exclude her? Because she's a little bit different than me. What if Jesus said that? Would you want to serve him? Would you want to be... I don't know if I'm the only one, but if God looked at people and said, I don't want to bless them, I don't really like them as much, just because they look a little bit different, or they talk, or they go to New Brighton or North Allegheny or a different school district. I mean, can we just be honest? Did Jesus ever exclude? Does he exclude people? If we're to walk in love, what that means is we're going to bring other people into our circle. We're going to be other people-minded. And so when we close off our circles here, it's not walking in love. It's just flat out not walking in love. It's saying we're going to stay in our comfort zone, and we don't care about other people inside of this. And you may not even mean to project that. I promise you, and I know your hearts, you probably don't even mean to project that. But sometimes that's what people think.
Yeah.
I just want to be
blessed. That's good. Yeah. Okay, so number one. We said become
Lauren
the right
always
person.
Checks me and makes sure that I'm not like yelling at everybody.
No,
she's
you're
really
good. You're good. You're good.
Go ahead.
You're good. You're all right, baby. I'm
Thanks,
the cheerleader.
Sweetie.
You're good.
Thanks.
So, like we said, number one, work on becoming the right person. What does that mean? Developing your relationship with God. Okay. Number two, walk in love. Number three, instead of putting your value, your hopes, your dreams in a person, put your values, your hopes, and dreams in him. Okay. Put your values, your hopes, and dreams in him, because only he can fulfill your hopes. Only he can fulfill your dreams. Listen, there is not one person on the face of this planet that can fulfill you the way that God can. Okay? There is not one person. Zach cannot fill me up the way that God can fill me up. He is not, and it's easy to do that when you're in relationships. And I know it's super easy. But this is so important, guys. If you can put your values, your hopes, and your dreams not in a person, but in him, and not perfectly. We're not asking you guys to be perfect little people, but consistently.
Yeah.
Okay? And then number four?
Number four is that you never have to try again, because he never fails. God never fails. And what I want to see coming out of this is that we just trust Him in our relationships. We trust Him in our friendships. We trust Him when it comes to our parents. We trust Him when it comes to our brothers and sisters and how to treat them and how to walk in love with them. God never fails, guys. People will fail you. I will fail you because I'm very, very imperfect. Right, dear? I'm very imperfect. I will fail you, but God will never fail you. Your parents may fail you, but God doesn't fail you. He's got your best interest in mind. He's always got your back. And I love the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 and 8. It says, it, meaning love, is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It's not rude or unmannerly. It does not act becomingly. So if we learn to walk in love, we're not going to be rude. We're not going to be arrogant. We're not going to be unmannerly. We're not going to act unbecomingly. I don't even know really what that means, to be honest with you. We'll just move on. Love, or God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it's not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done. It pays no attention suffered or wrong. Love never fails, and it never fades out, never becomes obsolete, or never comes to an end. That's 1 Corinthians 13, 5 and 8. When we use this method, we develop fully in Christ and are always, always fulfilled. Why don't you read James 1:4?
Yeah, James 1:4 says, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed, lacking in nothing. See, God doesn't want you to lack, okay? So we're not telling you that you have to wait, you know, that you have to, okay, you have to be this old to go on your first date or to like somebody. Listen, we know it's going to be your natural desire to like guys or to like girls. And we have that desire to, God gave us that desire to want relationships. But see, the thing is, whenever we wake it up a little bit too early, or whenever we do things on our own and maybe not God's way, it can mess up our future relationships. And see, God, He wants us to do it His way, because His way never fails. You don't have to constantly question the relationship that you're in, or have these petty arguments, or just be questioning all the time. That you can be confident. And when you do things God's way, and when you take things slow, and you wait to have sex until you're married, guys, He will bless you. He will bless you beyond belief. And if you've already had sex, okay, guys, there's start overs, and I am a full believer in that. Okay, so I'm not trying to beat you up, but His way doesn't fail. So we're not up here just talking to you for the heck of it. We're talking to you because His way doesn't fail. All right?
It absolutely.
It doesn't fail. That's great stuff, hon. When we're fulfilled in Christ, we're attracted to others who are also fulfilled in Christ. When you set a high standard for your life, you won't go back on that standard and say, okay, I'm going to settle for something lower in life. So one of the biggest things that we can encourage you is to understand your value, understand your worth, understand really who you are in Christ. And when you do that, you'll begin to see that in other people, and that's what you'll be attracted to in them. When that happens, oh Lord, it is such a beautiful thing, man. Relationships are a very beautiful thing. Understand that God invented relationships. We have to understand that. He's not against relationships by any means. There are three signs that we want to point to that a Christ-centered relationship has. Number one is that God is number one. Listen, God's number one. The Bible directly talks about not dating unbelievers. It talks about that, okay? The missionary dating, you're like, oh, I heard one time where it worked. Okay, great. Well, that's the exception and not the norm, okay? Missionary dating is not a biblical missionary model, okay? Where it's, I'm gonna date this person, bring them to church, and I'm going to see their life turned around. Usually, it happens the other way. Can I illustrate this real quick?
Mm-hmm.
You sure, honey?
Yeah.
Noah, can you help me, man? Help me for a second? All right, bud.
I'm scared.
All right, so here's what. You standing right there? I'm going to try to pull you up, okay? Do everything you can to stay down. Just do everything you can to stay down. I'm gonna get him up. Okay, you see how it was a little bit difficult, right? Okay, now no, go ahead. Just yank me down, dude. Just yank me down. See, if I'm standing on the edge like that, it's very. How easy was that to pull me down? Okay, there you go. Thanks, Noah. Everybody, give Noah a hand. Thanks, bud. It's the same. It is so much more difficult to reach down and to pull somebody up when you're close to them like that. It's so much easier for them to pull you down. And so many times in relationships, we've seen that model take place. So the Bible specifically tells us, because Jesus knew that was true, God knew that was true. He said, man, it's not to be among you that you should date somebody that doesn't believe in God because you begin to adopt what they think.
Yeah, here's one red flag, okay? If you want a red flag to see if you're in the wrong relationship or friendship, okay, here's one good clue. If you start becoming different than what you... If you started becoming kind of a worse of a person than what you used to be, there's one big red flag, okay?
If people begin to say, I don't really like you around this person,
and you notice yourself not being the same, not having the same standards, not... Man, just saying yes to things you once said no to, okay? There's your red flag, okay? That's all you need. That relationship is not a good one, all right?
Even if they say they're following Christ and that happens.
Your friends, I don't care if it's a friend or a boyfriend or girlfriend. If you notice yourself not living to your highest standards or doing things that you once said, you know, said no to, there you go. There's your answer right there.
Yep. So your relationship should encourage your walk with God. And we think that if you do biblical relationships well, we work with a lot of 20-somethings and we tell them this all the time. If you do a relationship right now, you get into a relationship, you can actually leave that relationship and both of you can actually be better off if you do it God's way. If you find out, hey, this just isn't for us, this isn't the right relationship, you can actually break up and it actually not hurt. It actually help you and say, okay, I know what I'm not looking for now. So those are things that we don't really need to get into.
Okay, so relationship number one is God is number one in your relationship or friendship. And number two is time, okay? Relationships take time to develop. Friendships, relationships, they take time. And here's the biggest thing, guys. You don't need to be going on one-on-one dates right away with somebody, okay? You need to go out in groups, get to know them first. Okay, here's the thing, the biggest thing that I see, and I'm just being real with you guys. You get into a relationship with somebody, you really don't even know, you may not even know their last name, but they're really hot or they're really cute or whatever, and you get into a relationship with them, okay, and then you get to know them on date one, date two, date three, and then you're like, oh man, I'm not sure about this, or you know, whatever. Or you just start going on a date with them, and you're way far into the relationship, and you're like, crap, this is not the person that I want to be with. So what we think is the best way is going out with groups, getting to know this person first, before you just get alone with them and go on a date with them. Because then, over time, if you see this person or this friend in different situations, like out in a group or at with their parents, or you see them in different environments, you begin to see their true colors. You begin to see who they really are. And then you can make a wise decision like, okay, I'm not going to get in this relationship with this person because I'm going to be wasting my time, my heart, my energy, my money. No way. I'm staying out of that. Okay, that's just using wisdom right there. Get to know them in every different environment that you can, so then you can make your decision on whether this is the person you really want to spend your time with.
Yeah, and just take your time, okay? 2 weeks into a dating relationship, if your parents say that's okay and you get into a dating relationship, do not drop the L-bomb, okay? Just please spare us of that. Please, okay, I don't want to have to scratch my tongue because it's like that chalky feel like, oh gosh, you don't love him, you don't love her, come on, seriously, you're 8th grade and you're in love, doesn't happen, okay? Not true, sorry if you got offended on that. Some people are clapping in the back, that's totally fine, okay? But listen, just take your time, enjoy life, enjoy where you are right now, man, come on, enjoy where you are in life, don't wish that you were 30 years older. Than what you are right now. You're going to be in love with somebody, and I'll tell you this flat out, nobody's going to get offended at this, but when I was young, when I was your age, 4 years felt like an eternity. I remember going into my freshman year and thinking, wow, someday I'm going to be a senior, and I remember looking at the seniors and feeling like, those guys are just so old, and like, whoa, I'm going to be like that someday, and it was like 4 years. Now I get older, and 4 years just happens like this. I can think about 4 years, and it just goes by. Man, my son was born 2 years ago. Listen to me, okay? And take this to heart and realize it. You know, the enemy's going to tell you, you're in your prime. You need to be sexually active. You need to go after it right now. You need to go after, you know, you're going to get those thoughts. If you don't get those thoughts, you're not normal, okay? I'm telling you the truth. If you don't get those thoughts, you're either sheltered or you're just not normal, because those thoughts will come to you at a certain time. It's true. It's true. And so those thoughts, at some day, it's going to come to you. You realize this, that if you do relationships right, you've got more sex on the back end God's way than you do in that limited window of a time until you get married. Okay? You can do things God's way, and it blesses you for an entire lifetime, as opposed to just trying to get something whenever you got 4 years left until you actually... Take your time Enjoy where you are. Don't wish that you were somebody that you're not. Don't wish that you're 30 years older than what you really are. Go ahead, hon.
And number three is purity. Okay, guys? And I know this is huge. You know, how in the world can I stay pure right now? There is no stinking way. Yes, there is, because we did it, okay? And that was just, what, 10?
Lauren's a hot woman. I'll tell you, dude. She is a... You know, yeah, she rubs her pregnant belly, you know. No, seriously, I mean, how many months pregnant are you, 6 or 7?
I am.
You are like, she's got 10 weeks left, that's all I know. And I look at her and I'm like, dude, my wife is smoking. She is hot. I think
okay,
about
it. Okay, but anyways, all right?
I'm telling you. But listen,
he's
we're together for 5 years. I'm not
later,
trying to score
okay.
any
we're
brownie
married.
Points.
We can do it. Yeah.
License of practice. That's what this is right here. It's a license of practice. You know, but here's the thing. What'd you say, bud? Yeah, JC said all day ride pass right here. I had to say that. That was JC Andrews that said that, parents. Parents. Listen, listen, man. You know, when we were dating, she was still smoking hot. It didn't happen. I didn't think she was smoking hot whenever we just first got married.
We worked for this.
We men, and we worked hard, and we waited, and God blesses absolutely. Everything, absolutely.
And we
everything.
Like to say it like this, okay? You know, sometimes you say, well, how far is too far? But the Bible never tells us how far we can go to and still live for God. The Bible was written so we can live for God, okay? So what we like to say is, I don't know if you have a dad or a mom or a grandfather or someone that's important in your life, okay? Or Jesus, how about that? How about that, okay? What if he was... So we'll say, how far is too far? Okay, what if he was just chilling out wherever you were, in the car or, you know, whatever, just hanging out with you? You know, just picture him just chilling, or your parents. How far would you go with Jesus standing right? I'm telling you, it'd be way different if Jesus was standing right in front of you than even if your parents or somebody, it would be way different, right?
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
What are you doing? That's not what Jesus is talking about. That's not
what's up? What's going on in this car? What's going on in here? All right? Yeah. So that's the biggest thing, okay? What would you do if Jesus was standing, or if he was chilling in your car with you?
And here's the thing.
All right? Get that image in your head. All right?
Here's the thing, though. He is. Like, we have to understand, God goes with us everywhere. He said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I'll go with you everywhere, even to the end of the age. God really does go with you everywhere. You know? I mean, it's true. He's there. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, God's will is for you to be holy, to stay away from sexual sin. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Purity is all about boundaries. Don't put yourself in potential danger zones. Sitting in the car, home alone, downstairs on the couch alone, go into the bedroom. Don't put yourself in those danger zones. Set yourself up some boundaries and say, I will not go past this. I'm not going to go past this
line. You have to do it, guys. You have to set up boundaries. Because I've talked to too many girls that are like, I don't know what happened. Or guys, I don't know. You know? Okay, yeah.
You know what
totally
happened?
Know,
you
right?
totally put yourself in a stupid situation and you knew the entire time that you were going to do it. Don't mess with me. I know, okay?
Now, we're not talking about situations where you could not, if there was abuse going on or if you were raped or something like that. I'm not talking about a situation like that. I'm talking about where you fully know what was going on and you're just like, and you know what? Sometimes you get that feeling in your heart. Guys, don't go against that. If whether it's a friendship or relationship, if God is speaking to your heart, and not that you hear something, like hear a loud voice, but sometimes he just tells you, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't do that. Do not go against it. It's not because he's trying to control your lives. Guys, he's trying to help you. He's trying to teach you and protect you so you can do things God's way.
And
so
remember this, find an accountability partner. We're closing with this. Find an accountability partner. Have a friend that you can be honest with. Have a youth leader here that you can be honest with. Talk to your parents. I know sometimes that's so difficult, but trust me. You know, I've met a lot of your parents. They're pretty easy to talk to. And if you talk to them and say, listen, I need a little bit of help here. I need you to talk with me and help me through this. Your parents will love to do it. Listen, our youth leaders will love to be there for you. You need to have somebody of accountability that can ask you tough questions. How are you doing? Fellas, I ask some very, very blunt questions to people in my close circle. I mean, really blunt questions. And I will say everything. And I do that to shock them, because if their face goes completely pale and they don't say anything, then I know that they messed up. You need somebody like that in your life. I have somebody like that in my life. She's sitting right next to me right now. How are you doing? How are you doing on the computer? I got everything covered on my computer with Covenant Eyes, with X3 Watch. There's nowhere that I can go that doesn't report something to her. And she still asks me, how are you doing with your second look? How are you doing with your second look? How are you doing with that second look? I've got accountability. You need an accountability partner. If I need one, you need one. You need to be open with somebody about this. Be open with them about it.
I just wanted to go over the four things real quick.
Okay.
Did you want to go over any of that?
No, it's fine.
The four things that we talked about tonight that I really wanted you guys to walk away with, just remember this. Okay? Instead of trying to find the right person at all times, work on just becoming the right person. Guys, just take a step forward in your relationship with God, okay? We're not asking you to do jumps and bounds. Just do something. Wake up and have a devotional. Put music on that's going to lift you up. Something. Put one step forward on becoming the right person. Number two, instead of falling in love and worrying about falling in love, walk in love. Start to live selflessly. Number three is put your hopes, values, and dreams in Him instead of in a person, instead of in a friend, instead of in a boyfriend or girlfriend. Put your hopes and dreams into Him. And then you never have to try again, because He never fails you. He never leaves you. He wants you to have a good relationship in your life.
Yeah, let's pray, okay? Father, thank you for these amazing teenagers here at Thrive. And God, I just pray that you do an amazing work in our relationships. God, I specifically pray for restoration, because I know that so many of us in this room need it. I know that, well, statistically, the average age of getting exposed to pornography is now 11. That's pretty early, and everybody here is above the age of 11. So, God, I know a great majority of this room has been exposed to things that really are detrimental to our soul. And God, I pray for restoration and healing. God, I pray for value and worth to rise up in some of these beautiful, beautiful young girls, that you just reveal your heart to them, that they're a work of art, that they are your workmanship created in Christ to do good works. God, I pray for these girls that they just get that and grasp that, and then don't step back in their standards for life. God, I pray for restoration for girls who may have hickeys right now, for guys who may have hickeys right now. God, I pray for restoration. I thank you that you forgive them. I thank you that you forgive them every time they ask. God, thank you so much, even for the people that may not even want a prayer of restoration right now. I thank you that you just chase them down and show them their value and show them their worth. Man, we mean that with all of our heart. God, I thank you so much that this is a place of purity. This is a place where we honor and we respect you, and we respect our bodies and we respect other people. And God, we just thank you that, man, I believe in you that nobody falls sexually here. I'm believing you, and I'm holding on to you. I'm holding on to you for that, for this group right now, God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I please ask you just for 1 second as we close out? Ryan, why don't you come up and play just for a second, man? If anybody is here tonight, can you just keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed for just 1 second? We're going to end this. I'm going to make this real, real simple, real quick. If you're here tonight and this is the first time that you've heard a message that Jesus actually forgives, or Jesus actually wants to be that relationship meter in your life, that you don't have to search from jump from guy to guy or girl to girl to find hope and value, but you can find it in Him, you can find it in Jesus. And I remember hearing that message for the first time, and I remember my heart jumping. I didn't quite understand it, but I just remember everything about my heart saying, this is the message that I needed to hear. It's happening right now, and I'm ready for my life to change. Listen, I know some of you in here may have been raised in a church. Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? It doesn't matter if you've been raised in a church. It doesn't matter if you've gone to church every single Sunday. You and having a relationship between you and God through Jesus Christ has nothing to do with your church attendance. It is basically, as the Bible talks about, you asking Jesus to come into your life and be the Lord and Savior of your life. And no relationship can last and be 100% fruitful without this one relationship. And you could be jumping around and looking for other relationships to fulfill you, but I know that there might be somebody tonight that says, God, I know that you're the only one that can fulfill me. If you're here tonight and you say, Zach, I want you to include me in a prayer to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to start my relationship with Him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to single you out. The only thing I'm going to ask you to do in just a second is raise your hand if you want to be included in that prayer. Not right now, but in just a second, to raise your hand. I'll see your hand go up. I'll include you in a prayer. And the Bible says that when you pray and you believe God, that He raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess Him as Lord of your life, at that moment you become a new creation. At that moment, the old you is completely washed away, and a new you comes. That you can actually have a relationship with God that's not based on your perfection, but it's based on His. You've been imperfect, but you can't work your way back to God. You can't earn your way back to God. He earned His way to you, though, by dying on that cross. And man, when the Bible says, whenever He died on that cross, God rose into life, and He rose you with Him. Will you accept Jesus tonight? If you say, Zach, include me in a prayer. I want Jesus in my life. I want to know that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Listen, if you've ever raised your hand and prayed this prayer out loud, you don't have to do it again. God's faithful. He's already come into your heart. But I'm telling you, if you've never prayed this prayer, or you've prayed it and you didn't mean it, and you want to dedicate your life to God right now, say, Zach, I want Jesus in my heart. I want my life to change. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. Just simply raise your hand up high right now where I can see it. I'll include you in that prayer. Thank you so much. Thanks so much. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's so great. Thank you. Thanks so much. Put your hand down. Great. Thank you. So great. Anybody else? Say, Zach, include me in that prayer. I want Jesus in my life. I want to start a relationship with Him. Anybody else? Great. Let's pray this out loud with the five that raised their hand tonight. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I come to You in Jesus' name. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross for me. And God, You raised Him to life for me. Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. I begin my relationship with You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him a hand, guys. Let's give him a hand. Yeah.